Gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark, the 7th chapter. Story is Jesus' continued mission to the area of the Gentiles. He's been in Gennesaret, now he's heading down into the land of Tyre, the region of Tyre. From Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37, which is found on page 42 of your pew Bible. From there, Jesus set out and went again to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter, and he said to her, "Let the children be fed first. For it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by the way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee and the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, put his fingers into his ears, he spat and touched his tongue, then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It was an image this week that caught me, and many of you probably, that picture of the child's body laying outside that Turkish resort town, that the policeman picking his body up. It was a horrifying depiction of what is happening, the plight of the refugees seeking escape from parts of the Middle East that have been war-torn, where they are seeking peace. So desperate. So desperate. We see it not only there and happening in Europe, but we see it at our own southern border, don't we? No matter what your political persuasion, when the problem involves real people wanting nothing more than freedom from suffering, it's really hard to casually dismiss the issue or establish rigid laws that ignore the plight of millions. And yet, we also know there's a cost to absorbing hundreds of thousands of refugees and immigrants. Countries such as Hungary and Greece and Macedonia and Germany, even Sweden, as well as the United States, are struggling to balance the welfare of their own citizens with humanitarian assistance to refugees. Who should be of primary concern? Should the needs of the fleeing place an increased burden on the citizens? Some leaders believe their people's needs do come first, and they're in good company. If you listen closely to this gospel text this morning, it should have startled you. Jesus is on a mission in Gentile territory, and he comes today to this area in Tyre. And here he meets a Syrophoenician woman who begs him to cast a demon out of her daughter. It's actually quite interesting and timely. The Syrophoenician is actually the area of Phoenicia, but it actually would have been around Syria. Syria would have been the area, too, of the Roman Empire province. So how interesting that we have in our own time Syrian refugees. When she encounters Jesus, Jesus says to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." This does seem out of character with Jesus, doesn't it? Jesus, who wanders foreign lands, heals Gentiles, has compassion on the least. But yet it is consistent with other words that Jesus has spoken, like in Matthew 15, 24. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Many scholars have attempted to kind of soften the blow of Jesus' words by claiming that conservative Jewish Christians put words in Jesus' mouth to show his primary concern was for the fulfillment of the Jewish Messiah. He had limited time, so this is what he did. It would have been something akin to Christian charity begins at home. And yet it may be that the best explanation is that sense of Jesus' urgent mission. Mark's gospel uses a word immediately all over the place. Jesus is on a forward progression. He's on a rush to get it done. In Matthew, Jesus responds to the would-be disciple who wants to bury his father and then follow him with this statement, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Another harsh words from Jesus. Jesus is on the move. In his earthly ministry, he is concerned first and foremost for his own people. And yet, in this text, there is interesting word choice. Let the children be fed first. Although it doesn't negate the blow of Jesus' calling the Gentiles dogs, first does imply the Gentiles will be fed after the Jews. Well, the woman is bold. I like her. She doesn't want to wait for her daughter to be consumed by this demonic power. She claims, well, you know what, Jesus, the dogs, they eat at the same time. They are the unintended recipients of the remnants, the crumbs that fall from the table. That happens in our house. Jesus is perhaps impressed by her tenacity, and he grants her request. So what's going on here? Was Jesus playing with this woman? Testing her faith? I don't think so. Maybe instead, he was pressing her to the point of realizing that God's goodness is not on demand. Or maybe that even the divine crumbs of goodness are sufficient and satisfying for the soul. By humbling herself to Jesus' will, she does receive what she came for. Some might say she even humiliated herself. But to that I say that in assuming the place of the lowly, she was unified with Jesus Christ himself, who was despised and rejected, who was treated worse than a dog, suffered the worst humiliation on the cross. But by the power of his resurrection, his humiliation was transformed into exaltation, and now in his exalted state, he makes room for all humankind. Jesus made room for this woman and her daughter to eat from the table and for her daughter to experience the share in God's liberating work. This story reminds us that we, like that woman, are in a sense honorary Jews. The woman probably acknowledged the priority of children, so too, if we believe Jesus came first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles, acknowledge that we are to humbly approach God with thanksgiving for Jesus, opening the way for us. There's much more to say about that. But as I have told many of you, we did not supplant Jews as God's chosen people, for to claim that would be to say that God goes back on God's promise. That said, we are not entitled to God's grace and goodness any more than the Jews were. Yet, on the other hand, like this woman, we can be bold to ask for what we want and what we need. Even though our basic plea in the Lord's Prayer is, Your will be done, we must not abandon our prayers for healing or justice and believe that such pleas are futile. The next scene in this passage shows this. Here's another Gentile in need of healing. And this time, there is no hesitation on Jesus' part. The would-be man, there spends time in the text. There's a vivid description of his healing. As the passage then progresses, Jesus is making room for others. And so we are too as well. You know, I think our first inclination is often to show loving kindness toward our own kind, much like we heard in James. But we should always be making room in our lives and our hearts for the other, not like us. Our ears then need to be opened, like the deaf man, to listen to cries for justice. We need a spirit to grant us the wisdom and ability to assist them. Jesus, I don't think, could have ever achieved freedom for humanity through his earthly ministry alone, and so we will never do it either. The masses of people who seek freedom and justice and peace will only find it someday when he returns. But until that day comes, we are to show forth the will and intention of the one who will show up again and make all things new. Where a little boy who drowned in a desperate attempt for freedom will never, never happen again. On that day, there will be only rejoicing that death and crying and sadness have passed away. From then on, there will be only rejoicing at the kingdom's table. Our table is a reminder that that day is ahead of us. And for those who have died, it is a reality in which they are participating. And so when we come to it, we understand that we don't come deserving it, that it's not our table, but the Lord's table. We come as children, welcome, because Jesus has made this meal possible for us to share. He has made room for us at the table with the communion of saints who have gone before. He has made room for the refugees and the homeless, the sick and the grieving. Jesus has made room for you and me. And for that, we give thanks to God. And we come in gratitude. For we know that here is where we find our needs met. Our Savior has set this place for us at his table. So come.